You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Besides the screen you spent most of your time staring at this week, chances are you were also captivated by a big screen video installation. From billboards to scoreboards, we inform and entertain audiences with our big screen solutions. Visit bigscreenvideo.com.au to see how BSV can bring your space to life.
How much time till we're on?
Come on, Ron!
What?
We're on the air right now.
Oh. I'm ready. Good evening, I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Yeah, welcome everyone to a Wednesday hump day when it comes to pretty much everything. Work week and also sporting week as well. Not much usually happens out around a Wednesday. We've been able to uncover some of the stories in and around rugby league, most importantly,
plenty.
But we have got a big rugby league and sporting calendar this week and starts Thursday night. And one of our special guests tonight, as I introduce.
There's no Thursday night footy
my
anymore.
Good friend here, Gary Belcher.
Hello, Scott.
No, the Bledisloe, of course.
Oh,
Thursday
yes.
night at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. 20 years since we last won the Bledisloe.
What do you think about a Thursday night? And they're vulnerable to the All Blacks at the moment. What do you think about a Thursday night?
I think it's smart.
How did it come about? Was it because of the finals in the
Absolutely.
In the other codes? And they went, well, there's a spare. And during the year, we're watching Thursday night footy, aren't we, NRL and AFL? But so people are used to that.
We've got a game at the MCG this weekend. So people have got sport, as they always have in Victoria, and especially Melbourne CBD. They've got sport on their mind. It's exciting time of the year. They're just looking for something else to go to.
Yep.
Bledisloe at Marvel. I think it's really good scheduling by the AAU.
Imagine if you're in town for the it's Geelong and the Lions, isn't it? Friday night at the MCG.
Yep.
So maybe people will be doubling up on that. And I think there are plenty of rugby fans in Victoria too.
Well, it's sold out.
Oh, is it?
Sold out.
Oh, there you go.
Outstanding. Get involved.
Confirms my thoughts.
So we're going to have Sean Maloney Brilliant. From Stan Sport, who is a tremendous guy. We've both worked with him at Fox Sports. Now the lead commentator for Stan Sport and all the rugby. He's going to join us on the show to talk about that Bledisloe match. And make sure you get involved any time in the show. 0457 736 736. And the best text goes into the draw to win the SIG Power Bank, valued at $59.95, and all the listeners through the Super Radio Network, thank you very much. SEN stations, if you're listening. And a special shout out to our listeners, SENQ, 693 AM in Brizzy, and SEN 1170 AM in Sydney, and 1620 AM, which is in Canberra, on the Gold Coast, in Canberra 1323, I should say. They'd be very excited at the moment. Can't wait for this week's game on
big game Friday night.
Friday night,
Raiders Para.
I'm at Combank. I can't wait for that game. I've got to say, Badge, this weekend, I think most finals are like this. I don't think it was like when we had the old system, 1 vs 8, 2 vs 7, and so on. But probably more so now. But this weekend,
That was the McIntyre
system. It was.
System. Yeah, it didn't quite work.
I can't split this weekend.
Difficult. Last weekend difficult to confidently pick a winner. In hindsight, I look back and go, wow, Penrith were just amazing. But, the other three games were all anyone's guess.
I look at the psychological battles at Para play amongst themselves as a team and whether they can rise to the occasion. You've got Canberra who are unpredictable. You don't know what you're going to get. Are they going to start slow, come home fast?
We'll start fast and come home fast.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's what invariably everyone wants to do. And then you've got South Sydney who just everyone is jumping on the back of because of the excitement around the side and Latrell's firing everyone up.
And the footy they're playing.
Yeah. And you've got the Sharks. Can they get off the canvas and recover from that golden point from last week?
I did read
week.
Today about how Penrith did that themselves. Was it last year?
They got beaten round one last year.
Round one of the finals. You had to get yourself back and regroup and put that game behind you. And despite the fact it was so close and extra time, golden point, 93 minutes, that game is irrelevant when they run out this weekend.
Yeah. We've got That's Ridiculous as well. So text us through your That's Ridiculous, 0457 736 736. I'm going to give you an example of That's Ridiculous.
Right.
The Japanese architect that designed the World Trade Center, I just watched a great documentary on the World Trade Center, actually on Netflix, was afraid of heights.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Really?
Yep.
So he didn't go up there.
Obviously,
he never ventured up there.
No.
I'd say he wouldn't have.
Yeah, afraid of heights. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mick Cowley from New South Wales Greyhounds is going to give us the racing preview. Of course, the Million Dollar Race is coming up in a couple of weekends, the semi-finals this week.
Semi-finals this week and the finals Saturday week at Wentworth Park.
Yeah.
Million Dollar Challenge, yeah. Hey, now we've come across a bit of audio, and I think a lot of people might have heard this, and it's one of the first bits of stuff that's sort of leaked out of the palace since King Charles took over.
Yep.
And I'm trying to work out what it is, and I haven't seen anything yet from any of our producers. I'm thinking it might be, and someone might be able to help us. Is this King Charles and the Queen Consort Camilla?
Yeah.
Is this when, you know, after you get married, after you
consummate?
Well, yeah. Are they consummating the royal crown?
Is this the audio from it?
Yeah. I don't know. Have a listen.
Oh God!
Oh, golly, it's a bit messy, hey? It's all going everywhere. I don't even know what that's about. So if someone can help us with that, Jack's, okay, what's he saying? Something about a pen. Okay, anyway, it didn't sound like that to me.
Now, some of the clubs, the NRL clubs, have had their annual awards nights over the last few nights.
Of course.
Penrith Panthers badge, Merv Cartwright medal for the player of the year. Dylan Edwards.
Yeah. He'd be the favourite if they had one there. He and Isaiah Yeo, I think, were right up to their necks in the Dally M's.
Yes. Hey, we just got a text here, Michael, and we were going to get to this originally because we watched this game this afternoon. The National Championships, so the best high school rugby league
in the land.
In the land. Primarily has been dominated by New South Wales for many, many decades.
Well, there's been a few winners from over
until the late. Until late. And Ipswich State High defeated Petrician Brothers, who have been one of the kings of schoolboy rugby league for many, many years. They lost the game. They won the game
32-6. Now that is.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
32-6?
Yeah.
I'm reading all about Petrician Brothers Fairfield, how good they were. Must be a good side, that Ipswich. That's the home of course, the birthplace of the Walters boys and the Langers and Noel Kelly.
Ronaldo Mulitalo went to Ipswich.
Ronaldo,
State High.
That's right, he did too. So it's usually it's a rugby league stronghold.
Any of those Queensland sides that have always it's always been Kerwin from Townsville, or it's been Keebra Park, Palm Beach, Marsden High.
Yes.
Just to name a few from
Queensland. I'm not surprised, though. When you think, I think of Gary Coyne that played with the Raiders and Queensland, Australia, Ipswich boy, they're salt of the earth people. Mm. Tough.
What's
tough.
The school good down in ACT? Is it Erindale?
Erindale College.
Was that a
finalist?
They were a finalist. And Rod Payton went to Erindale High.
Yeah.
As a ball-playing front rower.
Well, bad luck to Erindale.
Okay, the Raiders Awards, while we're on the subject of the ACT, the Mount Meninga medal. Who do you think?
Oh, who won it? Oh, Sats, I would say Joe Tappany.
Joe Tappany won it?
Yep, and I don't know that off the top of my head, but yeah.
Coach's award went to Hudson Young.
Oh, outstanding. How good's he been?
Okay, the Newcastle Knights, Danny Badiris medal.
No, he didn't win it. Would it be Jake Clifford?
Tyson Frizzell.
Tyson Frizzell, there
and
you go.
And the NRL, the player's player was David Clemmer. The Bulldogs, the Dr. George Paponis medal.
Matty Burton.
Jeremy Marshall-King, well deserved.
Oh, okay.
Had a really good year.
So most of these, or are they voted for by the players? I like the ones the players vote for after the game.
Yeah.
3-2-1. But that's not always the case.
Coach's award, Max King. Good friend of the show, Maxie King. Great kid. And his dad, Dave, would be listening at the moment. And the West Tigers, the Noel Kelly, Keith Barnes medal for player of the year.
West Tigers.
Had a good year. Forward.
No. Joe Offengawi.
Yeah.
I think he's had his best year. And I've said it before. You see it. Players playing for a contract.
Yeah.
They fire up a lot better. I'm not saying in other years that he's not motivated, but he certainly had his best year in a while.
So what has brought up the next topic, and we want to get your say in this as well, listeners, 0457 736 736. I looked through some of these awards, Badge, and I think some of these players aren't the out-and-out stars of their team, okay? And the Dally M every year is the best player in the game.
Yep.
Very rarely do you find a front rower that wins a Dally M or a back rower. It's always a fullback or a halfback or a 5'8".
It's a star.
Primarily, yeah, and a star. So we want to try and lobby the NRL to come up with a Dally M most reliable player.
Most reliable, you want to call it.
So I'm looking at...
Not hardest trier, like we used to get in under
most nine. Reliable. It doesn't have to be the superstar.
Most consistent, most reliable.
Just the most reliable. Now, while you think about it,
okay.
I say at the Penrith Panthers, when I was there, Shane Rodney.
Oh, when you were there?
Yep. Shane he could play Rodney, lock, 5'8", yep. centre.
Yeah.
Played centre in the grand final when Ryan Girdler went off. He could play hooker if you asked him to.
Yeah, but an unsung sort of hero.
What
wasn't
about
he?
Raiders?
Oh, well, it probably would have been the bloke I mentioned before, Gary Coyne.
I knew
he was
you'd
just
say that.
Consistent. He never let you down front row or second row. Not the biggest front rower, but oh, what a good player. And there'd be a few others if
see,
you
see, I'm looking at that.
About current players, though.
Well, that's it. The Bulldogs' George Paponis medal was Jeremy Marshall King. Reliable.
Yep.
Dylan Edwards. I mean, I think many would believe that if there was a most reliable player,
could be Dylan
Award,
Edwards. Yeah.
Dylan Edwards would be up there in the top three.
Yeah.
So who's your most reliable player? If there was a Dally M medal for the
like
most
that,
reliable,
Sats. I like it.
Who would win it? Even who's the most reliable at your club? 0457 736 736.
Well, most people are going to think about their club first. They're the ones that they're watching most closely. You know, you think maybe this year and. I look at someone like Regan Campbell-Gillard at the Eels and go, he's just had that great, solid season. Actually, Sean Lane, who he has been consistently dangerous out wide, but just, he doesn't skip a beat, does he?
See, I look at Murata Niokora, who can play front row, back row, and then when one of the centres goes down, he can just rely on him to be a really handy centre.
Can you have too many Mr. Reliables?
You never have too many Mr. Reliables. Now, really interesting, Fox League put out a post yesterday saying, Paul Kent and Paul Crawley think Latrell Mitchell continues to contradict himself when he speaks to the media about milking penalties. This is one of the great comebacks, Badge.
Mm.
Latrell Mitchell, from his own Instagram account, has replied and said, I live in Paul Crawley's head rent-free. That's a good comeback.
There you go. Beautiful.
That's a good comeback.
We got a couple of That's Ridiculous nomination sets.
Go for it.
Bondi Jack says, Lindsay Collins finding some Scottish, Irish or Jamaican grandparents so he can sit out 3 World Cup pool games and serve his 3 weeks of his ban. Has he got 3 weeks? How many weeks has he?
I think he got 3, didn't he?
Yeah, okay. Good
four
on
weeks.
You.
Might have been 4 weeks because he missed one game.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a la Jared Rehargreaves.
He said that's not so ridiculous, Bondi Jack.
Yeah, true.
I like that.
And that's ridiculous. Aussie golfer and USPGA championship winner Steve Elkington is allergic to grass.
He is.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy. I remember when he won the US Open.
Yeah, but that was on artificial.
What?
Did he? Yeah, he won the US Open. But
yeah, and I remember it came out after that he was allergic to grass.
And he's your caddy. Who picks his ball up and what?
Isn't Tiger Woods allergic to grass? I think he is.
It's a good incentive.
Can
to
you Google that, please?
Never have to clear your ball out of the rough.
What's ridiculous is your treatment of Glenn last night. We disagree. We disagree.
Yeah.
We got Glenn on air, didn't we, last night?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dally M, Mr. Reliable. Nat Butcher, this is from 074, hasn't given us his name. Got to be the most underrated player in the game. Won't let you down at the Chookies, yes.
I think you're right.
They're both good, the Butcher brothers.
Absolutely. Back early in his career, Tiger Woods spoke about his allergies. I think I'm allergic to my job. Oh, I'm allergic to grass, trees, dust, and pollen.
What?
Stop it.
That's everything.
Ridiculous.
That's nature.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Allergic to the world. He'll be living in a high rise.
Lives in a bubble.
That text about Nat Butcher was from the Brookie Hill.
Nice. Mm. Yeah, good nomination. Really good nomination. Dally M's most reliable, Kurt Mann, should have won the Knights Player of the Year. Helping his captain out when he was in distress.
He's winning everything, Kurt Mann.
Yeah.
We had them winning the Emmy for the best romantic show. Romance,
yes. Big best romance for the Emmys. Absolutely. So keep your texts coming in, 0457 736 736. And if you're listening to the podcast for the first time, welcome to the show, and grab the podcast, Sports Day QLD or Sports Day NSW, Apple or Spotify. Now let's get to an NRL update for Polaris, Australia's number one selling side by side. And Badge, South are looking to extend Jason Demetriou's deal, possibly.
Yeah, I read that as saying it's likely. And I think he actually has got an option?
Option.
For 2024. So looking very, very likely. But we're talking about beyond that as well. Now, let's remember that, you know, Wayne Bennett left last year after their grand final appearance.
Yep.
And life after Wayne Bennett hasn't always been rosy at clubs that he's been at for the next coach. So Jason Demetriou has done really well, and of course they're, you know, having a week. Through to round week two of the finals. Having a week off, aren't they?
No, South are playing this week.
They're playing this week.
Yeah,
yes.
You're calling that game.
I'm calling that game.
Just have to
Sharkies, actually. I'm just trying to remember where I'm at. I'm looking at the wrong thingy. What if they were beaten by the Roosters and were out? Would we they be having the same conversation?
It's a good question.
It's all about success, isn't it?
You know what?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this week there was a story saying, South are umming and ahhing about whether to let Jason Demetriou take up the option in his contract beyond next year. It's just about, and sometimes it gets down to the bounce of the ball.
Yeah.
It's not always in the coach's hands.
Do you know, there's a train of thought around life after Wayne when he leaves clubs. There's some that they believe that Wayne does what he has to do, then he departs and doesn't leave any succession plan. There is also a belief that coaches that come in after Wayne try and basically just reinvent the wheel when success had been there, when he simplifies everything, and sometimes it's the best way to coach. I suppose with Jason Demetriou on life after Wayne is that Wayne gave him a lot of ownership last year in the side, so it really drip-fed him into that head coaching role a lot earlier than what other coaches do get the opportunity to do.
My take on it is South handled it much, much better than other clubs because they didn't give Wayne say in everything.
Yep.
They didn't give Wayne all the say in the players that he, the club board or the club let go. That wasn't Wayne's area. Wayne's area, they narrowed it down, Richo and co, you are coaching.
Yep.
That's it. Mm. You're not doing all the other stuff. So when you leave, And the staff you've got around, you're not going to just take all your staff and some players are going to let all that and the club's going to be decimated. That won't be happening, Wayne.
Yeah.
You'll be in good shape. And I think it was an outstanding plan and the way they carried it out, the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, well said. Now, Badge, Andy Raymond, who's a very good friend of ours and has an amazing podcast called Unfiltered Listeners. If you haven't listened to it, go on and download a lot
not
of the interviews.
Not all of his interviews are amazing, but this one, I was on one. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're talking about your own interview. Okay.
But, yeah, this one with Johnny Sutton.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about it because I haven't heard it yet.
Well, apparently he's really opened up about going into rehab early this year for alcohol abuse and depression. He's just really talking about how difficult it is coping with life after footy.
Mm.
And he says whilst the South Sydney Rabbitohs have been fantastic for him, he does think the NRL could do more to help players cope with life after footy. Now, I know from my experience that a lot more players when I played were ready for life after footy because they had regular jobs before their career kicked off or even during their career. It doesn't happen very often now. And there's a massive, massive void there for many players. And not all high-profile players like Johnny Sutton that can get a role at the club. He was fortunate to have that, but there are plenty of other players that have a short career or even a long career, but then they've got to go and find their way.
Yeah.
And I'm with him on this. I think this is really important. I think this is really an important thing that the Players Association needs to make sure, and they probably are across it, but I think it's super important that the Players Association, the clubs themselves, the player managers, just to help life after footy and life after sport for anyone for that matter.
Like you touched on having jobs, Badge, players need to do more when they're playing the game as well. They've got money at their disposal.
Yes.
They've got a lot of time on their hands. It's a lot more time on their hands now.
You can lead a horse to water, Sats, and I've seen it firsthand. It's players' focus is just on playing. And I was like that myself too, but, you know, I dabbled in a few other things.
Yep.
But you see it that, I mean, you've got like two or three different careers doing different things, Sats. You're happy to do that, but there are other players that just are lost without their footy. And I know I'd... You can never replace that.
No.
That what you have, the mateship and the adrenaline and everything else that comes.
The phone call stopped.
Playing.
That's what I found. As soon as I stopped playing, the phone call stopped from your teammates. You know when you're playing and you're talking to each other and Badge, when I was playing, we had mobiles and you're always contacting each other. And
what are you saying? We didn't.
You didn't. You just had the old dial phone. But,
we had pigeons.
But I found the phone call stopped. In the first year you finish, you're not part of the circle anyway, and you really miss it. And it's not an excuse, but a lot of players handle it a lot differently. I struggled with it. I struggle with it really badly.
I'd love to know what your thoughts are. Listener 0457 736 736 on that very topic. And just want to say again, Andy Raymond's Unfiltered podcast is
a great listen. Yeah. Really good listen. Thank you, Australia, for making Polaris Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand 21 years in a row.
Sports Day, Sports Update.
Yeah, join Robson Civil Projects, jobs at robsoncivil.com.au, and big game on Saturday, the prelim final in the AFL, Badge.
Is this going to be Buddy Franklin's, if the Swans get beaten, last game for the Swans? And possibly, some are saying possibly his final AFL game ever. I don't think so.
There's a whisper that he could go to the Lions.
Well, that's it. And then I read there's a school of thought that Sydney, the Swans, perform better without him. Now, I want some AFL fans to tell us this, and Woogie is a Sydney Swans fan, but of course he's he's deep in Bintang over in Bali.
He texted us today and said, "Badge, where do you go surfing at Uluwatu?"
And I thought, "He's not going to go surfing." but they're offering Buddy something like $500,000, about half of what he's on. Is that fair?
Well, he's 36 in January.
He's 36. Are they okay if they let him go? Should they keep him? What do you think about Buddy and the Swans? But yeah, they've got a massive game coming up. He didn't score a point last week, which is very unusual.
Opposition teams double up on him. They put two defenders on him, and I think you've got to have him there. He's a presence first and foremost. The opposition teams know the damage that he can do, but while he's attracting so much attention, it's freeing up all these other players, Papley and Coda, to do what they do. Definitely playing. They're going to be a lot better side with him in the team. We know that.
And just quickly, Brisbane midfielder Jared Berry cleared last night. We were talking about that tribunal appearance last night around the eye gouge. So he got that downgraded, and it was overturned. And he's free to play for the Lions.
Big player for the Lions. 60 years of family culture. Joined the Robson Civil Projects team for the opportunity of a lifetime. It's a sports day with Badge and Sats for the all-new Kia Niro. And coming up next, we're going to talk to Sean Maloney.
Sports Day. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Now, Burke, we missed one from a similar spot here to convert Rogers' try. Can retain the Bledisloe Cup for his country. He's done it. The Hooter's gone. The Bledisloe Cup remains on Australian soil.
Well, that was 20 years ago. Australia versus New Zealand, the All Blacks of Bledisloe, and an exciting game which will be played out at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. It's a sellout on a Thursday night, among other days. We've never seen a game on a Thursday night.
No, Birch. They're looking for a spare date in the calendar, I think.
Absolutely. And this is the man that you'll hear his voice, his dulcet tones across all the commentary with Stan Sport. Sean Maloney, thanks for joining us on Sports Day.
So nice to speak to you both. You managed to drag me from the casino floor, so I feel like I'm saving money by having this chat.
Oh, so, I mean, it's an exciting time because I think as a Wallaby fan, as the All Blacks seem to be a little bit vulnerable, Shawnee. Do you think the same?
Oh, I did 3 weeks ago when they got beat by Argentina down there in Christchurch, but then they bounced back by putting 50 past them in that next game in Hamilton. So they managed to work themselves back into form. And conversely, the Wallabies went the other way with that loss down in Sydney the other week as well. So they're kind of coming at it from different sides of the coin. All Blacks got their tails up again. But I do hold out hope because of all the many years that we've been pounded by those blokes, this seems to be the most likely that we can potentially get a result.
A sellout at Marvel Stadium on a Thursday night. I mean, it's a great endorsement for the sport, for the game itself and how important this game is. But I bet you can't wait to get there and see the crowd.
Yeah, the last time I was down here, guys, for a Wallabies game was British and Irish Lions in 2013, and you thought the roof was going to come off. It was electric. It'll be the same tomorrow night. And despite, you know what, despite the Wallabies going up and down and slipping to their lowest ever world ranking, ticket sales this year have been terrific. Mm. So they sold back-to-back tests in Sydney, sell out down here, big numbers in Brisbane for that game against England, big numbers in Perth and Adelaide as well. So something must be going kind of right. We just need to get the result right tomorrow night.
Sean, you know, there's been a lot of games played outside of the, you know, the main hubs. So, you know, in Perth, there's been tests and a fair few in Melbourne over the years. Are they getting it? Are they getting their heads around rugby? Is the support for rugby growing and improving?
Excellent question. So in Perth, you have that benefit of a lot of expat English and South African, so they sort of look after that side. And then down here in Melbourne, there are just tons and tons and tons and tons of Kiwi fans. So I expect that at Marvel we'll see a huge representation of people in the All Blacks jerseys, and as you know, they just go berserk for it.
Yeah, well, we're hoping it's going to be a great game, and they get off to a great start. Now, a bunch of changes for the Wallabies, including Bernard Foley, who's the fourth number 10 this year. In fact, I think they've changed both halves. Is that where are we sitting at the moment with that? Is that a big issue?
There's potential for you two to get a crack as the Wallabies number 10 if you get back into training.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's a very real chance. That's how deep we're going. Bernie Foley, so he hasn't played for the Wallabies since the 2019 quarterfinal loss to England over in Japan. 33 years of age now, but has been going along really well up in Japan. So we just need to hope that the Quade Cooper line of form from when he came back from his time in Japan is rooted in Bernard Foley there in the number 10 jersey. He goes well. And then Jake Gordon goes in at number 9, replacing the moustache Nick White. I think that was just a bit of a freshen up and try and mix up what the Wallabies do. I looked at, he can run really well. Jake Gordon's an excellent runner off the base of scrums and rucks as well. So I expect him to carry often and carry quick against the All Blacks.
Now, David Rennie, after the loss to the Springboks, Sean, he called for the Wallabies to play with a lot more optimism, a lot more instinct. Is that why he has recalled Kirtley Beale to the squad?
I think yes and no. I think that's more direct to the guys who are actually there that night, because Sats, they were so bad against the Springboks. They were so far off what they delivered down in Adelaide, where they were absolutely outstanding. So I think it returned to that. Kirtley won't play against All Blacks in that first letters, though, but I think it was more of a point of dig at some of the other guys in there that he'd been trusted to make it 2 from 2, something that's been really hard for them to do this year, that level of consistency, and they fell short for him. So I think it was a much-needed dig at some of the guys that are in there, and the ones that aren't now know why.
James Slipper, skipper at the moment, 121 tests, the Brumby, and also Red as well, wasn't he, at one stage there? Now, Michael Hooper, I'm sorry for the ignorance, but where is he? Is he injured?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So he left Argentina before they played their first test of the Rugby Championship, if you remember. And there's a bit going on behind the scenes there with Hoops, and it was a personal reason that he came home. I'm not sure that we'll see him back in Wallabies colours this year. I just hope he's sort of getting set and getting refreshed for 2023, where there'll be a World Cup on the line. But yeah, no, I think there's a bit going on, and if it takes him, 6 months to get right, then so be it.
Yeah, and we'll miss Taniela Tupou as well. Hey, he missed that the last start against the Springboks when he injured his calf, and you would have thought, how's it been, a week and a half? But would have thought he'd be just about right, but maybe being pretty cautious with him.
He's a big out, and I don't know what's going on with his calves. He's had a couple of issues with them. He did it in the halftime warm-up against the Springboks the other week. That's what cost him a start in that game or any match time at all. So calf issues, honestly, his calves are the size of your torso badge. So
my head. Yeah,
it obviously takes a lot of kneading. Your head, basically your whole body.
It is.
That's how big he is. So obviously the masseuse needs to dig in a little harder to loosen them up. Hopefully we'll see him back for that next game next week at Eden Park.
Righto. Now, Australia's chances, are they a better chance of winning then you are on the roulette wheel. Or what is your game of choice at the casino? We've just dragged you out of
all of them. All of them.
Blackjack. Oh, you try a bit of everything.
All of them. And you know how they generally set, it's like a, it's obviously like a, you know, a carnival where they set the really ordinary games at the front to get the suckers in. I'm straight to them. I'm happy to be a sucker and just donate my cash. That's what happens. So I hope, actually, there's no question that the Wallabies are a better chance tonight. I think they're 10-point outsiders. They'll give you a, I'll give you a run for a long go tomorrow night, I reckon. They'll really be able to dig in and have a proper crack in Melbourne.
Well, they've got Shannon Frizzell's out, Artie Surveyor's out as well, isn't he? So I suppose it's...
Anyone's they're missing a couple, but if they also get a couple back. But, but they'll give you hope. And how good having a Thursday night test match?
Yeah.
So, fellas, the last time we had a midweek game, was back in 94 when George Gregan landed that infamous, or famous tackle, rather, on Jeff Wilson at the SFS, and the Wallabies won. So he's hoping that 28 years on, it rings true again.
Now, I want to set this up for the listeners, because Sean Maloney and Badge, all three of us used to work at Fox Sports together, and one thing that Sean Maloney knows is lines from movies. Now, there's one show that he despises, he hates. I was talking to our boss, Jeremy Markham. No, your favourite. I can't stand it. Have you caught up with any reruns of Big Bang Theory?
Oh, I love it.
Sean,
don't get me
How
started.
Bad is it? Worse show.
Don't roll me up like that. I was in such a good mood, and then you put that rubbish on your terrific show. That's, well, it's got to be one of the worst shows ever.
I'm up there.
Put the syndication, surely. What an absolute steaming pile that show is.
I'm with you, 100%.
Canned laughter. Canned laughter.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
But Sats reminds me a lot of Sheldon.
And young Sheldon. Hey, before you let me go, Badge, I was listening to some 12th Man the other day, and there's a section there where you're interviewing Reg Warren, the faux brother of Brad's Warren. I'm sure it's you, isn't it?
Yep.
It popped up on my iPod. What, mate, that's one of your best interviews of all time.
He actually called, well, I was working at Triple M, and we called the game, Peter Sterling and myself, and Reg Warren, Ray's older brother, called the game with us. Of course, it was Billy Birmingham. And it was just great. So we actually interviewed him during the week, interviewed him to talk about it, so the listeners all knew. And the best one was during the actual game. It was that game, I think, in 1998. Tony Carroll scored really late.
Yes.
And like what we were talking about before the game, so I was going, oh, Queensland, they always find a way back. Finally, somehow, they found a way back and scored. And everyone's, and Sterlo's gone, no, and everyone's blown up. And all that Reg said was, Gary Belcher, you shit me.
That's gold. Oh, he's gold.
Hey, Sats, I'm gonna fire it through. I've got the interview somewhere on my phone. I've got to punch it through, because it'll just shine a brighter light on your cohort there. He's terrific.
That'd be great,
Reg Warren.
If you can do that, we'll play it for the listeners as well. 152 Bledisloe tests have been
mate,
played.
It's so good.
New Zealand have won 108. Australia 37, and we haven't won a Bledisloe since 2002. And you'll hear this man, Sean Maloney, calling the game on Thursday night. Hey, thanks for joining us on Sports Day, Sean.
Love you guys. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. Go Wallabies.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. He's a great guy. And he is that quick, Maddie, our panel op, that while Sean Maloney's telling that story, he's already found the audio.
It.
So for the listeners, have a listen.
Reg, has anyone told you how much you sound like Ray?
Well, as a matter of fact, they have. I get that a lot. But you know what? Blowed if I can hear it myself.
Is that right?
No, I just can't hear it. The other thing, of course, is that there are five of us. Five brothers, Reg, Ron, Rick, Rob and Ray, and... some people reckon we all sound alike, so...
Oh, that's great.
He's gold.
When was that?
When?
Was that 1998, you said?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was 98 when he called Origin.
That is great.
The good old Reg. So between them, they would have called, about 100 of them. Yeah, 100. That's 100 Origins between, and Ray was stuck on 99.
Oh,
and Reg called the other one.
So funny. Now, just on the back of the conversation we had about John Sutton, the interview with Andy Raymond on Unfiltered Podcast, and talking about life after rugby league. I've got a couple of texts here on 0457 736 736. And Franco from Guildford West says the former runner sprinter Yana Pittman has now become a doctor doing her residency at Blacktown Hospital. Yep. Yeah, that's amazing. an amazing achievement, isn't it?
And we've
and
got
a mother as well. Of,
yeah, oh, she was outstanding on SAS. We've got a bunch of texts here on retirement. We're going to get to them pretty soon.
Absolutely. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Sean Maloney. Make sure you watch that that Bledisloe test tomorrow night. The all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. And for Elders Insurance, hands-on support for local community, we're going to talk about our hot topic, which we brought up a conversation earlier on around if the Dally M had the most reliable player award.
Why do you like this, Scott?
I like it because it's the player that flies under the radar.
Would you have won a couple of these yourself?
I would, no, because
absolutely,
your teammates have to vote on this. Is the player that's always there for you, just does his job, and he's very important to his playing group, but just flies under the radar when it comes to
the Scott Sattler Award, we're calling it.
Now, before we get to that, Steve says, Badge, that impersonation of someone impersonating Rabs that you just done was the best I've heard. Now, that was?
That was the great Billy Birmingham.
Yeah.
Who, 12th man.
Yep.
And in fact, that appears on one of his, I'm pretty sure it was on one of his, it was on one of his albums. I don't know if it's a 12th man, what it was called.
That was great.
How good is he?
Outstanding. Okay, so Dalium's most reliable player and the awards nominees are, Badge, what are some of the texts we got through?
Dave at Carlingford reckons Jake T from Manly, Jakey Turbo.
Well, he's pretty high profile, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Yeah, we're kind of thinking of the lower profile.
What about Lachlan Croker for Manly?
Yeah, very reliable. Are they the sort of players that get the coaches award? I think might be the same at the clubs. Dally M, Frank from Guildford. West Seals territory, Mr. Reliable has to be Sean Lane and Regan. And I mentioned both of those.
Yeah.
Good on you. Mm. Very good. I'm with you.
Also, Dally M Most Reliable, the Most Reliable Awards, this is from the past. Now, Jace says Simon Mannering. Yeah, he was very reliable.
Absolutely.
Warriors legend.
Great player.
Modern day, I'd say Jazz Tavanga. There you go. Can play prop, hooker, lock, makes his tackle, really good offloads.
Tough as.
Yeah, good
player.
Hey,
we've got
good
a text here. We were talking about Jason Demetrio. They're saying extending his contract or certainly taking up his option. Are you serious, Baz and Sats? Next, they'll be saying Demetrio is coach of the year. They beat a busted side with stars missing before kickoff. Then they knocked out two of our top players. And this is great coaching. Ripped off Rooster, that sign. So thanks for your call.
Can I just say ripped
off
Rooster?
They're not happy. They're not happy.
He's actually he's a really good coach, Jace Demetrio. He had a lot of success in lower grades.
Mm.
He won two national titles, one with the Northern Pride in Cairns in the Queensland Cup and then with the Illawarra Cutters. And then his progression into the NRL has been seamless, I think. He's going to be one of our really good coaches in the future.
Yep.
Yeah. Joy Arrow is Mr. Consistent for South. While we talk about Jason Demetrio, pretty sure he hasn't missed a game except for Origin. His tackles, run meters are always up there. Cheers, Mick. Yeah, you mentioned Joy Arrow earlier on when we were having a chat as well. Badge, he's a good player.
Actually, I watched that and we'll mention it again. Ipswich smashed Patrician Brothers Fairfield in the Schoolboys Cup final this afternoon, and we saw a player for Ipswich, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah,
and I went, gee, it looks like Joy Arrow. He
ran like him, didn't he?
Ran and sort of stopped and started a bit. And tough kid and playing in the number 13. So, yeah, Joy Arrow would be a good nomination for that.
Okay, Bondi Jack says, boys, the NRL's most reliable, Joey Manu, can play a number of positions. Has become a real high-profile player.
Yeah,
now,
he has, Joey.
Joey Tarpany,
yep,
probably arguably the best front rower in the game, maybe top two.
Mm.
Hudson Young.
Yep.
Absolutely. Paddy Carrigan, well, he's turned into that sort of player, Mr. Reliable, hasn't he?
He has. Very, very good.
James Fisher-Harris. I've got to say, James Fisher-Harris, his front row partner, Moses Leota, really reliable. Just gets through all his work.
Definitely.
Big Tino. Well, Big Tino, he'll be the favourite to win the Gold Coast Titans Player of the Year award, I think.
Yeah, big high-profile player for a long time to come. Mm. Hey, Sats, what about, we did talk about retirement. We'll get a couple of these out before we get to the break. Retirement, it's very important for players to have second role such as study or a trade. Not everyone can be a media person. From Franco, Guildford West. You're right, Franco.
Yep.
And I think some of them think it's just going to that they're going to slot straight into that, but that's saved really for the elite few, as we've seen in the last few years. And the bigger the ego, the further you fall when you get back to the real world. Text there from number ending in 169.
Yeah, you're right in some cases.
Yes, I reckon that's probably right, you know. Not all of them, but...
There's also the other end badge when there is so much potential, but yet for some reason you can't fulfill it, and your NRL career or your AFL career just finishes after 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah, that's
whether
tough.
It's injury, whether it's form.
That's tough.
It's really hard. They feel as though it's a job that there's still so much left.
That feeling of failure would be just awful. And last one, guys. Hi, guys. Most reliable, no-nonsense player. Dale Finucane, Sporty Gav.
Bang. There you go. He's one of the best, isn't he? Elders Insurance, from local football to community events. It's our way of giving back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats, the Kia Sportage. I just purchased one. I'm picking it up in December. Has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, and thanks for all your involvement. We've got a lot of text messages to get through, I don't know, this last bit of the first hour, but also the next hour as well. If you're going to be able to be tuning out from some of the markets, make sure you get the SEN app and just look for Sports Day NSW to listen to the rest of the show. For the rest of you, keep on keeping on, and we're going to do the lay-bin segment at the moment. Badge, just to explain the lay-bin segment, as you hear the noise.
When you lay something, you think it's something that's not going to happen.
Yep.
So you can lay a horse, but you think it's not going to win.
Yep.
So gamble responsibly, of course, 1-800-858-858. And I'm laying Cameron Munster to play anywhere but Melbourne in 2023.
So you're saying
it's not going to happen.
He's at Melbourne.
No matter what
he's
happens,
contracted.
Even if he decides to go in the open market, sign for someone else, Melbourne will not let him go next year.
Yep.
And they showed us that with Josh Adokar. So get it out of your heads, anyone, that he's going to the Dolphins or anywhere else next year.
Yep. My lay bin is that it won't be a Swans and Lions grand final. I think the Swans and the Lions.
Oh, you think it will be?
I think it will be.
Okay. Oh, it gets confusing.
Yeah, I think the Lions will upset the Geelong Cats. And I think the Swans will be too strong at home.
Right. Yeah. I reckon you got them both wrong.
You reckon?
Anyway, you're laying that. Okay. Swans and Lions grand final. Well, you're saying it will be.
In Victoria.
Why don't you just say Geelong and Collingwood?
Will win.
Then you should have said you're laying Geelongs and Collingwood.
It's the same outcome.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm just confused.
We got another one?
No.
Another one?
Power and Cronulla both exiting the finals in straight sets. One of them will get through.
My other one is it'll be a sellout Saturday night at Allianz. It won't be. Sharks fans, cross the Tarrant Point Bridge.
There.
Get there. Support your side.
It'd be huge.
Yeah. The NRL finals are heating up. Find better odds on Betfair. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. We've got That's Ridiculous coming up, and also some of your texts and a lot more rugby league news to get through as well. New South Wales Greyhounds will catch up there as well with Mick Cowley. This is Badge and Sports, Badge and Sats for Sports Day. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See you at kia.com.au.
Day, the all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au.
Yeah, welcome back to the second hour. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. Still got plenty to get through. We've got That's Ridiculous coming up as well. We've got some tips for New South Wales Greyhounds, a big couple of weeks, Badge, coming up, especially Wentworth Park over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, the
million-dollar chase.
Million-dollar chase. Magic Millions. Million-dollar chase for the second time this year.
Yeah.
Huge.
Keep your text coming through, 0457 736 736 to go into the running to win a Signet Power Bank. We've got plenty of texts to go through about Most reliable player. If we had a Dally M most reliable player, who would win it? Or who's the most reliable for your team? Who's some of the most reliable players that we've seen in the past?
Yeah.
Make sure you get through to us on the text line. And if you're running a small to medium business as a builder, renovator, or tiler, Beaumont Tiles wants to help you. You just head to icanwin.com.au and you can win $25,000 advertising package to promote and grow your business badge.
A good example here.
Yeah.
Most reliable player. Think about the Bears, North Sydney.
Yep.
Who do you think about?
Greg Florimo.
And?
Billy Moore.
And?
Gary Larson.
Gary Larson, that's yeah. Mr. Reliable. He played 25 Origins in a row.
Straight.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, he was Mr. Consistency and the most he would have won the Dally M most reliable for sure.
What
probably
about
half a dozen years in a row. Thanks, Jimmy the Bear.
270 says most reliable will have to be retired Rooster Mitch Orbison. He was a great man, wasn't he? A great club man.
Yeah.
We also got a text here in relation to that as well from 749. Josh from Tarmor, Drew Hutchison, he's turned into the modern-day Orbo, Mr. Fix-It. Yeah, every position.
Okay.
Play second row, lock, 5'8", yes. Halfback, centre.
Yep, beautiful.
Yeah, good stuff. Beautiful. Now, Cam Smith of the rugby league variety has doubled down on his belief Cam Munster will not be at the Storm. Now, he's one of our colleagues, and last week he said his gut feeling is that Cam Munster will go to the Dolphins in 2024, but he's doubled down again, in relation to that.
I'd really love Cameron Munster to stay at the Melbourne Storm. It's the club that I played my entire career at, and I want to see the club do well into the future. But the longer this goes on, as you mentioned, Benny, you get the feeling that he won't be at the Melbourne Storm after 2023. That's my gut feeling.
Right.
Because if he's in a position like, so he's a premiership player at that footy club, and he's been there for quite some time and he's done some wonderful things for the organisation. Now, if he wanted to be there and there was no question about leaving, and his agent, Braithen Astor, he's come out and publicly said that the Melbourne Storm are now in the ballpark as far as the offer is concerned from a salary point of view, then if that's all squared away, then why hasn't Cameron Munster signed? That's my take on it.
Righto, well, that's not my take on it. I said the opposite to that a little while ago, so
I was wrong.
I guess given that that's come from the GOAT, then I just can't see it. Certainly not next
year. For 2023, anyway.
I don't even think for 2024, but anyway, we'll see. He's going to play the field a little bit.
Okay, Badge, can you, and I think there's a reason why he hasn't made a decision. Even if Braithen Astor, his manager, is saying Melbourne are now in the ballpark of what we're expecting on the market.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, why hasn't he signed? Well, any player, especially a player like Munster, who's controlling the narrative because he's one of the most important players in the comp, and doesn't know, no matter where he goes, he's going to get seven figures. Time is what he's got. He doesn't need to make a decision because he's contracted next year and he's just about to start a final series as well.
That's right.
Now they're out, obviously, he may make a decision. He may not. He doesn't have to.
And if he doesn't, and he's still going to be at Melbourne next year. He's contracted anyway. And he's going to get big offers. Big offers. And those big offers could get bigger from clubs that want him that start to get desperate to sign him. So, I can't see what the rush would be from Cam Munster's
point. Listen, it's
I get
fair
it from
to say
the Melbourne Storm.
It'll be Melbourne Storm with Dolphins. Melbourne Storm because of his loyalty. Melbourne Storm, of course, his relationship with the city, the team, the club, Craig Bellamy and the players.
And what they've done for him as well.
Exactly.
Helping out of a few jams.
Yep. The Dolphins will be lifestyle. It'll be about his young family, getting closer to home, young child.
No surf at Redcliffe.
No. And he's going to get paid well. So.
Yes.
Now, Badge, once upon a time, we used to have the Kangaroo train-on squad.
Yes, for Kangaroos. Yeah,
so at the
right.
end of round 25, you're not playing finals. They would name a Kangaroo train-on squad that would continue
players.
Training. And then as you got exited from the finals, they would add to that squad. No longer.
No, they just give players notice that, hey, keep yourself fit. And we have seen here one bloke who must have been told that he's a chance is Matty Burton because he's delayed ankle surgery and the Bulldogs have come to that arrangement with him and delay ankle surgery so he can tour if he makes the cut. And I suspect he'd be a chance. But and the other thing around that all sats is he might not even be in the top 20 at the moment, being very malleable. But if he's not, we've still got a lot of footy to play and potential injuries to players. Mm. And maybe there's still some players that haven't made their mind up.
Yeah.
That there are players that want to play for other nations, which I understand. I understand, especially senior players. You know, Josh Papali'i wanted to play for, you know, Samoa after he's given great service to Australia. But maybe I don't really know how the younger players would feel when they've got that option. But I think with a lot of them, it might be, I would like Api Koroisau. If I get picked for Australia, I will play. If not, I'll play in, you know, Fiji or another country. I'll get that. But, yeah, we don't know the actual players that have been told to train on. If it was me and I thought I was a chance of making the top 200 train-on squad, I'd keep fit, just in case.
So if Mal rings you, which he has with apparently some players, and says, listen, I want you to keep training. I want you to keep training. You're in the frame. We can't say you're going to be part of the
squad. I don't know if Mal or anyone's done that, but somewhere along the line they're getting notice from someone that they're
what I'm saying is you know Mal better than anyone. He's one of your best friends, and you know what the way that and how passionate he is about the kangaroo jersey. If you had a player that hesitated for a second, I was thinking about getting surgery, or it's been a long year. I did have a holiday organised with the family. What would be the response, you think?
Yep, thanks very much. We're moving on.
You
to the
are.
Next
Well done, Maddie.
I don't think that's going to happen very often.
No.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Okay, listeners, 0457 736 736. If there's a player in your club that is no longer in the finals that you think would be worthy of a kangaroo train-on squad, who would it be? So, Matty Burton, I think we agree Matty Burton's one.
Hudson Young.
No, he's still in the finals.
Oh, he's still finals. Okay. I'm thinking Raiders. You know what my focus is this time of year, Scott?
And that comes back to some of the most reliable players. Some of the ones that probably may not make wear a kangaroo jersey, but may be part of a kangaroo train-on squad.
Joseph Suaali knocked out last week by the Roosters are out.
So. Absolutely. So who are some of those other players you feel as though would make a kangaroo train-on squad that, again, may fly under the radar a little bit, or who has had a great season for your club and no longer playing in the finals? 0457 736 736.
Mr. Dally M Reliable. We're calling it Dally M Mr. Reliable. Sats has come up with, if you had a player at your club or any club that you think should get the Dally M Reliable, most reliable player. Text here, Steve from Dubbo says, Brett Kenny was the most reliable ever. When it came to big games, his nickname should have been the Postman. He always delivered.
He did, didn't he?
Oh, love that.
Now, Daniel says, hey, Badge and Sats, from a Storm perspective, the Dally M for the most reliable player, the departing Kenny Bromwich. Great nomination, Daniel. Never misses a game or an assignment. Creative with the ball. Renowned defender. Honourable mention to Josh King. Another good nomination. Tradesman-like player. From a whole game of view, the Bulldogs. Josh Jackson. I'm a big Josh Jackson fan.
You are. Yeah. You are. Tigers most reliable. David Nofaluma, well, he's actually, he's being Mr. Reliable at the Melbourne Storm. Oh, he was, anyway, and he'll be heading back there. Another one here, most reliable from Ken Gilly.
Trevor Gilmeister?
I guess that's the only Gilly we know.
The Axe, yeah.
Or is it?
I tell you
what, Adam Gilchrist go up footy?
I tell you what Gilly was reliable at, cutting you in half. That's what he did.
Yeah, he was.
Evening Shaggers. This is from the Reptile, most reliable. Craig Wing did it at every level. He played every position nearly too.
Oh, yeah,
he?
Great player.
Today, Lachlan Ilias. Well, he's becoming that. What about his defence on the weekend against the Strong. Roosters? They threw everything at him. And, hey, Roosters fans, get a dog up you. Enjoy the off-season.
Is that what he said? Did you say that?
Reptile. Now, West Tigers badge, they've agreed to release Jacob Little, the hooker.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
From the final year of his contract. He's going to the St. George Illawarra Dragons, which was touted a couple of weeks ago.
Mm. Well, they have got Api Koroisau.
Yep.
Going there, so I guess he might have seen his pathway blocked a little bit there.
Mm.
Jacob Little. Now, the Dragons, are they trying to move Andrew McCulloch on, despite the fact he's got a year to go? I think I've read that they're trying to talk him into pulling up stumps,
yep.
But I think he's... probably saying, no, I don't want to.
Well,
I want to keep playing.
I've got to say, Jaden Sullivan was good at hooker, even though he's not a hooker.
Mm.
Quick around the number nine, and now we're getting... I really rate Jacob Little. I think he's a good player, to be honest. Now, what's happening with this teen sensation in the soccer world, Badge? Garang Kuol.
Yeah. He has been named in the squad. They're taking on New Zealand next week. Now, he's 17. He's turning 18 next Thursday, and that's when they play New Zealand. And they play him again 3 days later. So he's only 17. He's just going to be 18. And he's made the Graham Arnold's Socceroos squad. We're not sure if he's in the team yet. Now, he's got an older brother, Alu, who made his under-23s Australian team debut this year. And Garang was asked how his brother took the news that he'd beaten him to the Socceroos.
I rang him. I'm just like, what happened, mate? Yeah, but nah, he was chill about it. He was just happy for me, but
deep down he'd be burning a bit, brother. I think going, I'm going to get there because he's so close himself.
He turns 18 on the day of the game.
Yes,
doesn't he?
Yeah,
Garang. Now, good story in relation to sibling rivalry badges when Kerrod Walters made his debut for Australia in 1989, Kiwi Tour.
He did.
I remember because I got billeted by their family.
Oh, there you go.
He got picked. He still lived at home. That
year. I was on tour with him.
Yeah.
I was billeting with him.
So, and then a couple of years later, 1991, I think it was, Steve Walters made his debut.
Yeah, Kerrod toured with the Kangaroos in 1990 and Benny Elias as the other.
Yes.
As the hooker, the other hooker.
And so when he made his test debut, apparently they announced the team, and back then it was on the radio, wasn't it, Badge?
Yep.
And his beautiful mum and dad standing in the family kitchen, and they said, Kerrod, what happened with the team? And Kerrod said, no, I missed out. And mum said, who's taking your place? He pointed straight across the dinner table. <It's Steve. laughs> Yeah. Very talented family.
Oh, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Justin Hodges, well, they had the weigh-in today for the big fight tomorrow night against Paul Gallen.
Be a great they're Benny trying Hanna. To fire everyone up, but there's been a bit of push and shove.
There has. He was the main instigator again. Well, he was the niggler, wasn't he, in Origin, Justin Hodges.
So, he was. Well, in club footy.
Yeah. Great niggler as well. Got under your skin so easy. It wasn't a sledge. It was just this. It was a cheeky grin that he had. He was also a mad jersey pusher.
He had grub in him early.
Yeah.
And once he finally got that out of his game and played footy, he was much better. But the grubby stuff wasn't good. But now he's talked up a bit today. Yesterday there was some stuff going on, but today at the weigh-in, he actually grabbed Gal. Did he grab him by the throat?
He cupped his throat.
Oh.
Gal wasn't perturbed. I mean, not too much intimidates Gal. We know that. This is going to be interesting tomorrow night. I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to pay for it, but I'm going to watch it. Someone else will pay for it. I'll go to the Sporting Globe to eat my Nourish Bowl.
Ah, there you go.
While I watch the boxing. So they're tossing a coin to see who goes out first. I think Hannett will go out first because I think...
You think you'll lose the toss?
No, I think...
Do you go out first if you win the toss or you lose the toss?
Good point, Gary.
I think if you win the toss, you get the choice and you're going to go...
I think this is all part of the gimmick. We're going to toss a coin, but I think Hannett will go out first because then they have an hour break and they'll have some other fights in between.
Right.
But I think Hodges and Gallen is the rivalry.
But if he wins the toss, Benny Hannett, he's going to say, you're going, Hodges.
I don't think they'll have a toss.
I'm throwing you out there.
I don't think they'll have a toss.
Oh, you think it's not really happening?
Can you imagine if he wins both these fights, which I anticipate that he will, because he's actually a really good fighter, Paul Gallen, and he's tough. And Mark Hunt couldn't knock him out, okay? So I don't think Benny Hannett and you don't have to knock someone out. You just have to win by point.
Now, for someone who said a month ago, and you've said it almost every night since, I'm not going to watch this fight, or I'm not going to pay for this fight.
I'm not going to pay for this fight.
Gee, you've given it a lot of airtime. Yeah, you love talking about it.
Yeah, I know.
This is what they do.
I know.
They suck you in.
They've sucked me in.
They have. And you're going to make sure you don't miss it.
Yep.
At someone else's expense.
Exactly. Badge, the Live Golf Series. Interesting concept.
Interesting. They play three rounds. And now there's a tournament coming. I think it's a teams event because what they're going to do to determine the seedings is not based on what they've done in the past or where players are ranked or whatever. There's 12 groups. A player, I think it's a captain of each, they have a nearest the pin competition. This is like, you know, the nearest the pin when you're in a corporate golf day and when no one's looking, you throw a ball up on the... Not that I've ever done that. But the nearest the pin. What is this, just a gimmick?
Come on, that's exactly ridiculous.
Is it like a corporate golf day where
it's a corporate golf day for rich kids.
Is it Ambrose?
It's not even their shotgun starts as well. They all start on different holes, you know.
Preferred lies?
Yeah. Should be like club length, wherever you want.
Oh, yeah, club length.
So if you go into the bunker, you just get a handful of sand, throw the ball out first, and the sand comes out after.
One of your mates did that, you were saying, didn't you?
Henry Sulivali, winger at the Gold Coast.
I played in a corporate golf day where some footballers, I won't say where they were from.
What's it because rhyme with? What noise would their emblem or...
Noise? Oh, no, the no, no, it's... No.
Okay.
They, they came back... Because they played for a big prize, like it might have been like a set of ping golf clubs each in a bat. They came back with a score of 54 before the handicaps. I'm looking, and I'm just going, guys.
What?
There's actually people here who put real. No, we did. So we collated all the scores, and I'm still shaking my head. And then one of them walked up and went, "No, we can't do it. No, we have that might have been a 94 actually." So.
Let's get some more of your texts for McDonald Jones Homes. 0457 736 736. Dally M, most reliable, Jared Waria Hargraves. Most reliable player to get sent off and give. It's pretty reliable.
Yes.
Hey, boys, Marty from Bathurst. I reckon Isaiah Yeo. Yeah, he's very reliable. He's also become probably one of their highest profile players too, hasn't he, Badge?
Yes, yes. A couple here for the Kangaroos train-on squad. G'day, lads. He had an injury affected 2022, but a fit Josh Curran could have been a Kangaroo bolter. I'd also like to see Josh Carraz?
Josh Carraz.
And Max King get a call-up just to help them develop. Yeah, I think those blokes are a little bit off, but you just never know. They would be absolute bolters if they made the Kangaroo squad.
I'm a fan of Josh Curran. We had train-on squad, a good one here. Jaden Sewer.
Oh, yeah.
Missed through a lot of injury and suspension, but he's a quality player, Jaden Sewer.
Never going to let you down, Jaden Sewer.
There's whispers about him and the Dolphins, isn't there? Obviously, he played Origin when Wayne coached him in 2020.
Yep.
And I think Wayne may have had him at the Broncos as a young kid.
Yes. Dally M, Mr. Reliable. Hi, boys. Horry Hastings, the most reliable player I've ever seen. Never let the Roosters down.
Yep.
Played injured, always gave 110% if you could actually do that, Richard. He would have. Richard from Cremorne. Well, his young bloke's going pretty good too, isn't he? I know he missed a fair bit of footy at the Tigers, Jackson Hastings. But
good player.
They're not going to let him go in a hurry.
Yeah. Now, Rod says Reuben Cotter for the Cowboys. Now, there's probably a...
I reckon he... Well, given...
Well, Dally and most reliable.
Origin and he played great. I think he's a... Yeah.
There's a couple of nominations. One for most reliable, one for the Kangaroo train-on squad.
I think he could be there, yeah.
I think he'll get picked because he can play hooker as well.
Well, I reckon he'll be training on if they get knocked out early. Whether he makes the final cut, it's going to be pretty tight. Some great players.
What about Chris says most reliable would have to be Kurt Gidley from the Knights. He was reliable, could play a number of positions.
Definitely. He played hooker in Origin.
Captain New South Wales from the bench.
Yes.
Yeah.
Strange thing.
Also Bobcat Ryan
they
from
could,
the Dogs
the first
of
20 minutes they couldn't make a decision. They were all over the shop. They'd get a penalty, they'd go, what are we doing?
Yeah, Bobcat Ryan from the Bulldogs. He's outstanding.
Yeah.
Bobcat. Yeah.
He was. I think he's going back there in a coaching role.
Is he really?
Yep, Andrew
Ryan.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Good man too. Peter from Burley Heads. Great show, guys. The most reliable was Illawarra's Michael Bolt for his ability to miss very few games.
Oh, the Energizer Bunny. He's run across field,
you
make another tackle.
Against badge, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Great guy, Mick Bolt. Tackling machine and just never skipped a beat. And he did have the record for a while, I think, of most consecutive games.
Did he really? I know Jason Taylor broke that in the end, didn't he?
How are you built like Jason Taylor and you play 200 games straight? Oh, I don't get it. And he targeted.
Absolutely. Like he defensively
had to put his body in the way of big blokes, and I just don't know. I look at those little blokes and I same today when I see Sammy Walker, Jesus.
I know.
How do you do that? Good on you. You are. That's the epitome of toughness for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well said. Thanks for your text messages for McDonald Jones Home. Get your McDonald Jones Home started today. This is Sports Day Badge and Stats. And coming up next, we're going to have That's Ridiculous.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Come on, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's got to be an investigation into this. This has got to be, someone's got to be accountable for this.
Yeah, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. A lot of that's ridiculi around today. I've got a couple.
Yeah.
We've got one of the listeners also on 007. That's ridiculous. Hey, guys, we spoke early on about Steve Elkington. One of the listeners said was allergic to grass,
yes,
as was Tiger Woods.
And everything outside. Steve Elkington, like trees and leaves.
No, that was Tiger.
Was that Tiger?
Pollen, trees, grass.
Lions.
And this one's from 007, says, hey, guys, it's the Ashman.
That's Ashman.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Ian Thorpe was allergic to chlorine.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
That's why he swam so fast.
I'm pretty sure he
trying
was.
Trying to get away from
I
it.
I think he's right, you know.
Amazing.
Are you allergic
couldn't
to
couldn't ocean swim
you allergic
to save
to anything?
Himself? No.
I'm sandflies.
Hard work. I am. Anything that makes my fingers sore.
What do you got, Badge?
But that's ridiculous,
yes,
or for text?
That's ridiculous.
Listerine. You know, mm-hmm, the good old Listerine?
Still use it.
Originally,
every
it was sold as a floor cleaner.
What?
And then it was a cure for gonorrhea.
What?
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Maybe it's a different, I'd say it's a different formula now.
I'm starting to think Listerine. Why my wife makes me drink it every
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's
what?
Yeah, cure lots of things. Exactly what she does, Sats.
Yep. My that's ridiculous is a man from Waterbury in Connecticut faces divorce after his wife found out that he's not actually deaf and has been faking it for more than 62 years to avoid having to listen to her.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Oh, that is hilarious.
I don't know if it's ridiculous or smart.
I've got a mate who thought he was having trouble with his ears, and his wife said, you've got to go, you can't hear it, you've got to go and get your ears tested. He's going, I'm fine. No, so he went and got them tested. They said, they're perfect. Your hearing is perfect. She's a low talker. You know when people go, hey, what do you want me to do? Can you hear that?
That's a Seinfeld episode.
She's a low talker.
Yeah.
She wears a puffy shirt too. No, she doesn't. Hey, yeah,
my wife actually, we had an argument yesterday and she said to me, you never listen to me. And I thought that was weird to start a conversation like that.
You never listened to me. Made you listen though, didn't it? All right, a guy on another one.
Yep.
Matty, you ready?
Yep.
A flight in Norway from Oslo to Trondheim.
Nowhere?
Yeah, from nowhere to Norway.
Yeah, okay.
He hijacked a plane. He's an ex-convict. He hijacked a Boeing 737, 120 people on board, and he yielded. He locked himself in the toilet.
What?
But he wouldn't give in until they give him a continuous supply of beer.
Hang on a sec. He's already contained himself in the toilet.
Yeah, but he's got a gun.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So he's in the toilet. He's got a gun and he's bring me beer. So they had to keep bringing him beer. Now everyone, I'm sure is petrified. And eventually a police officer told him he couldn't receive any more beer unless he handed over his pistol, and he did that.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. For a beer. Hang on a sec. He contained himself in the bathroom,
yeah,
which is horrific enough as
well,
it is.
Well, he might have got pushed in. I don't know. But anyway, he had a gun. He's in the bathroom. No, but if you get in there at the start of the flight, they're clean.
The only person he's going to harm with a gun in the toilet is himself.
No, Scott, you're wrong. You haven't thought this through.
I don't think he thought it through.
In the side of the plane with your pistol, what happens?
All the air goes out.
Yeah, he would have got sucked out through the gun hole.
Now I've got another one here, Maddie. I believe this is correct because Spider Everett's wife told me this, Cherie. And she said, you're not allowed to attend the AFL Grand Final. Can you correct me if I'm wrong here, listener? 0457 736 736. You're not allowed to attend the AFL Grand Final if you are under 18 without an adult.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Fair enough. They're serving alcohol there, Scott.
Yeah, but if you're 16, 17, you want to go along with your mates to support the Sydney Swans.
Take your mate. Your mate's got to be 18 or over.
That's ridiculous.
Or your mum or dad or your older brother. Yeah,
hope the NRL never introduced that.
Yep, there you go. All right, I got one here actually from our listeners. What's ridiculous? A 73-year-old man gets his first job as the King of England.
Oh, Rod.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Oh, Rod. There you go. He's been training for a long while, hasn't he?
Now, Badge, we've got a few texts here about retirement as well on the back of John Sutton's interview with our good friend Andy Raymond on the Unfiltered podcast. Retirement, boys, life after football. I say player managers do your job properly. It's easy to shop them around leading up to contract renewal, but get off your backsides and do the harder stuff as well. I've met some good ones, but obviously they're not all that diligent. Yamba Seagull. And You are right, Yamba Siegel, to a point. Got some very good player managers out there that are still not only their managers now post-career, but also their very close family friend as well, that look after them from a holistic point of view.
As we heard on that, yeah, on that podcast from Johnny Sutton, he'd like the NRL to do more. And it's a combined thing, isn't it? The club's looked after him, the Rabbitohs. But, yeah, you got your manager, you got your family, you got the club. But if the NRL can also – and I don't know, they might already have some. The players' union just have stuff in place. But from his experience and only retiring a few years ago, just not enough support there for players when they retire to fill that void, to help them get through that early stuff.
It's not about the players that have paid $800, $900, $1 million. They've got a better chance of, I suppose, securing their future
But even if you've got enough money and you own whatever, it's still a void. It's a lonely place at times, Sats, isn't it?
You've got to be able to, as you know. You've got to know how to manage it as well. Mm. I mean, but as I said earlier, I struggled.
Yep.
I had two good jobs when I retired. I started working for the now Gold Coast Titans. A month after I retired, I started working with what was called the NRL, the Gold Coast NRL bid. And I started working for Fox Sports. So I had no excuses.
Oh, people would have given, what Tommy Dearden would have given for your jobs.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's right. But you still missed.
There are a lot of people that are far worse off than I was.
So did you miss the footy, the games?
I didn't miss the games. I just missed the camaraderie. You know, going to training and just being around your best mates. And not everyone can have that. And people that work, 10 and 12 hour days will be sitting back saying, oh, poor you, with their tongue in cheek, because, we lived a pretty glamorous life in a sense compared to the people who wake up every morning at 4 or 5 o'clock and get in their trucks and nurses or whatever it may be. But for some reason to me, I struggled really badly.
Well, I think a lot of people would have realised during COVID too, not going into work and even working from home. The comparison to that, just not having that interaction, it can leave a big void. It can be difficult to handle. But all of a sudden you finish your career and you haven't got that. No matter how hard you try to get it in other ways. And, I jumped in, I was playing touch footy and indoor soccer and going for a surf and working a few jobs, but you just can't replace. I found the mateship, but also that bit of adrenaline you get.
Remember there was a young kid that came and played at Penrith. His name was Timmy McCann. He lives on the Gold Coast now. He's a school teacher at Palm Beach Crumb. And I remember when he was at Penrith, he was 19 or 20, and he said, I just bought a unit. I said, at 19 or 20, really? Have you? I said, well, yeah, I just bought my first property. And I thought, wow, like, that's amazing, but it's a big sacrifice. And I think back now and I thought, how smart was he? Any money that he got from football, which wouldn't have been much at that stage at 19 or 20, he'd put into his first asset and end up working out really well for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, smart.
Smarter than the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. Keep your texts coming through, 0457 736 736. This is Badge and Sats. Make sure you get into the running for the Signet Powerbank valued at $59.95. It powers your phone, your tablet, your earbuds for 24/7, and all new Kia Niro as well. Available in hybrid or all electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Sports Day, the all new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Yeah, the world's richest greyhound race. The TAB Million Dollar Chase is coming up. We've got semi-finals this Friday night. It's only a couple of weeks away, Badge. Mm-hmm. And we talk to Simon Orchard most weeks from New South Wales Greyhounds, but in his place is Mick Cowley. How are you, Mick?
Boys, I'm really well. I can't believe I'm getting called off the bench near grand final time. How good's that?
Bring the big guns back for the big.
Yeah,
well,
can
big
you
events,
tell us how many Olympics you went to? Of course, Simon, a very famous hockey ruse. I mean, Kookaburra. So can you fill us in on your Olympic career?
Mate, I can actually. And you're going to be really surprised here because I've been to 5 Olympic Games.
Really?
There you go.
What's your in what capacity?
Mate, as a journo.
Yeah.
With the Sydney Morning with the Sydney Morning Herald. I went from 2000 right to 2016.
What's your favourite Olympics to visit?
Mate, Greece was really good. Athens was good. The weather was fantastic. It was obviously, I covered swimming, so obviously you had Thorpe and Hackett and Phelps and Vandenhoeven Band. I was lucky that I covered that sport at the right time when Australia was absolutely flying. So no, it was good fun. I covered swimming because I knew I'd get to travel to Olympics and Commonwealth Games and all that sort of stuff rather than just sitting around covering footy.
We've got a mate who covered six or seven Olympic sats, but never actually went to any of them. They were all out of the studio in Sydney, so that doesn't count. He hates it.
No, I don't think. It was Beijing actually gave the media a participation medal as well. So I'm kind of an Olympic medalist in some form.
Oh, wow.
Don't tell Simon Orchard.
No, you've got him covered. You've got him covered. Yep. Right, now, this the Million Dollar Chase coming up next week, but this Friday night's going to be huge at Wendy Park.
Oh, mate, it's bigger than huge. It's one of the favourite nights. You almost say it's more of a purist night than the grand final night because you've got eight semi-finals and only the winner advances. So it's real
cutthroat.
There is no second prize, literally. And the eight semi-finals that have been drawn, they were drawn yesterday morning. They're all cracking fields, as you would expect. Some great racing. And I think a few of the favourites will get through, but I think it might be a little bit more open than what it normally is. I think there's some value in there as well.
Well, but the 2021 Million Dollar Chase happened in May, postponed. She's a Pearl. Is going to feature again, but not looking as dominant this time round. Would that be correct?
Mate, that's absolutely spot on. Back in May, April, May, she won the Golden Easter Egg, leading all the way, killing her rivals, and then come out in the Million Dollar Chase in late April, early May, and gave nothing else a chance. She was just jumping straight to the front and careering away and running fast times. And this time around, though, she had a few months off. She had a little niggly injury. There was a lot of question marks over her. And she came back last week in the first return to Wentworth Park from the Million Dollar Chase win back in May. And she got knocked over on the first turn. If you watch the replay, she literally gets knocked sidewards, somehow stays on her feet, regathers herself, and then chases down the leader and ends up winning the heat in spectacular fashion. That got her through to the semi-finals, and she's in those semis on Friday night. She's drawn box six. It's no gimme, that's for sure. She's got to certainly improve the way she jumps because she didn't jump as well as she normally did on last Saturday night. So she's got to improve that. There are a couple of good dogs in the race. There's Zipping Maserati, who's missed by a toenail of getting through to the Million Dollar Chase final back in May as well. So there's some quality dogs. But I actually think, if I can jump in with a bit of an each-way tip in this race, the dog drawn box one is a dog called My Boy Rockin', and it actually qualified for these semifinals by winning the heats down in Wagga, of all places. Hey, this is a pretty smart dog. It's better than the 25-1 with the bookies at the moment suggest. Yeah, from box one, I think it'll get a nice run behind the leaders, and it's pretty strong. I would be, if I was allowed to bet, I would be having something on this dog, My Boy Rocking. It's in race eight, dog number one, on Friday night.
Nice.
Same race as She's a Pearl.
Yep.
That's okay. We like hard.
Yeah, exactly. And anything with a two, with another number behind it as well. Now, not only does the winner of the Million Dollar Chase walk out of Wennie Park with a pretty good check, there's also some giveaway as well.
Mate, there is, and we started this back in May, and it was pretty successful. And there was a girl from up Cessnock way who actually ended up being the lucky one drawn out. It's essentially one of the world's richest lucky door prizes because you come in, you buy your ticket, it's $20 for it to get into Wentworth Park on Saturday week for the grand final. You buy your ticket, you go into a draw, you get drawn out of that, and then you get a chance of picking one out of 100 envelopes, and in 99 of them is a check for 10,000, and in the other one is a check for a million. I remember the girl from Cessnock, Kimberly Kowalski was her name, and she drew, her envelope came out, and she picked envelope number four because She's a Pearl was number four. Unfortunately for Kimberly, she's a pearl one, but she didn't, and she walked away with $10,000. The million was in envelope number 42 from memory, I think. There's that opportunity. Be there on the night and have a crack at winning a million.
Great stuff. It's the world's richest greyhound race, the TAB Million Dollar Chase, Saturday, September 24. What's that, AFL Grand Final weekend, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Same day. Huge.
Big weekend. Mick Cowley, thanks for joining us.
Mate, more importantly, it's NRL preliminary final weekend.
Yeah, grand final qualifier. Yeah, you're right. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Get on that 25-1. Hey?
Yeah.
Race 8, number one, my boy rockin'.
Good luck.
Let's get some more of your text messages for McDonald Jones Home. Get your dream McDonald Jones Home started today. What have you got, Badge?
Yeah, boys, Mr. Reliable, Dally M Mr. Reliable Award, Luke Douglas. And he broke JT's record played consecutively. Ricky Stewart used to call him 24 carat. That's from Yamba Siegel. He came back and played up at the Titans.
He did,
didn't he?
Gold Coast Titans.
Dougie.
Lives there on northern New South Wales, sort of central New South Wales area, I think he does.
Yeah, he's from Yamba.
He's from Yamba. Yeah.
Mate, or Relly or something.
A Badge and Sats, most reliable player, would have won the award each and every year if he was a Dally M most reliable player. Alan Tung. Yep.
What was Jeff from Yass? Big sign in the.
Who needs a big Willie when you got a great tongue?
Yes. When they played against Willie Mason. Love that Sats.
Evening again, gents. Reliable players. You have to, and there's been a lot of votes for, I've got to say, Pat Carrigan. A little bit high profile now, so I'm going to go a throwback to Boxhead Terry Madison.
Oh yeah, good player in a side full of stars at the Broncos. Terry Madison had to be in your team every week.
Toe poking goalkeeper, yeah. Wasn't he?
He was actually from the Roosters system, wasn't he? Initially?
Yeah, he was.
So Dally M, Mr. Reliable, you're not alone. Sats, most people, no matter what it is in life, don't know what they've got until it's gone. No, that's actually talking about retirement.
Well, just on the back of that, Badge, Daniel writes one about Cameron Smith when we're talking about Cam Munster not making a decision yet, and he won't make a decision for a while, I don't think. He says, Cameron Smith, it's a bit rich coming from Smith, who himself was notorious for dragging out contract negotiations and leaving it to the 11th hour.
What about how long he waited to tell us he actually wasn't going to play again?
Yeah, but just on the back of that text message then from Steve, sometimes... Yeah, you don't realise how much you miss it until it's gone.
Until it's gone.
Hence why the decision would have taken so long.
Yeah. Train on squad. Ben Hunt every day of the week. Mallow's hinted strongly Hunt will be the starting hooker with Harry Grant coming off the bench. Oh, he can't leave Damien Cook out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Appy Karoi is there.
Yeah, he's got some good choices there.
Yeah, thanks for your text messages for McDonald Jones Home. So this is Badge and Sats. We'll wrap it all up after the break with the last blast and also the last laugh. And this is for Kia Sportage. It's been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au.
Sports Day. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au.
Yeah, let's wrap it all up for the show. Thanks for joining us throughout the night. And let's get to some more of your texts. But before we do that, Badge, let's announce the winner of our Signet Power Bank. Who is
it? It is Jimmy the Bear. We're talking about most reliable player, the Dally M, Mr. Reliable. Back from the old days, he nominates Gary Larson. Yep. Bring back the Bears.
Mm. Oh, look at that badge. Look at it on the screen. Bobby McCarthy intercepting the 1967 grand final.
Yeah, the great man.
Popped his shoulder when he dived over after scoring the try.
Wouldn't have cared.
Yeah. So Jimmy the Bear.
Yeah, Jimmy the Bear wins the Signet
Gary
Power
Larson.
Bank for
Fair
his nomination.
Fair rig on him too, didn't he, Larry?
He was
Looks like
reliable.
He was carved out of stone.
25 origins in a row.
Yep.
Barely missed a game for the Bears. Never missed a tackle. Hit-ups all day.
Now
Who
we've
they come?
We've covered a fair few topics tonight. Mr. Reliable of the NRL. Kangaroo train-on squads. Retirement as well. So... one here for train on squads. So, hey guys, Mitch Barnett or Edric Lee would be in my Kangaroos train on squad. Now, many may laugh at that, but the train on squad is more about the experience, isn't it, Badge? You've had a great year. You're not playing finals. You may not be part of the squad that travels, but we're going to bring you into the camp.
But you're close.
Yeah, exactly.
And you may, if there's some injuries.
Sporty Gav.
Stay fit just in case. Yeah, good. He did mention that Mark Lanville was in the 1990 Kangaroos tour train on squad.
He didn't go on tour, did he?
No, but he would have been training with the great Mark Sargent, who did come on tour. And Sarge, what an absolute champion.
Great player.
Great bloke.
Mark Glanville's a great player. Mr. Reliable, Cliffy Lyons, Michael from Des Moines, he was really high profile, wasn't he? He was. You could always rely on him and Beaver. We've also got a vote here for he's a little bit late to the party from Gary, but he says the mighty Beaver. So Beaver and Cliff Lyons, you could rely on those two to be involved in some four-pointer.
Make something happen.
Yeah,
for sure.
Outstanding.
And g'day, boys. When you are reliable for the team, what about Eric Sims? He won the game for them. They had to change the rules. Tricky from Perigian Beach.
1971, they changed field goals from 2 points to 1 point.
Yeah.
And halftime of the 1971 grand final.
They changed it at halftime.
At halftime of the 1971 grand final against the Dragons, South Sydney were leading 1-0.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Should have been 2-0.
Yeah. Mr. Reliable, Richard from Cremorne. Hi, boys, the most reliable player, Alex Johnston. Can be relied on to score 2+ tries per game.
Oh, yes.
And has to be a smoky for the Kangaroo Tour. Oh, I agree with you also, Richard.
I wouldn't be surprised. Look, if they don't win this week, if he gets the nod, hey, keep training.
Someone who leads the most tries in the NRL for 4 to 5 years deserves a blazer. Of course, first player in the history of the NRL to score
30 tries or
consecutively.
More.
Consecutively.
Yep, and he has played for Australia before.
He has.
World Cup, 2017. When was that? Just a few. Oh, 2015 maybe, a few years ago now.
We did the World Cup. What year was that? Can't remember. Just watching a replay of the fan, yeah?
We're going to do this?
Oh, we're going to do the last
on
laugh.
On Sports Day, It's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
Not actually Sats, but you can join in, Sats. Do you remember, I was just thinking about this today, do you remember when you were a young bloke and you'd play games, you know, with your dad, how much fun it was?
It's time for the last
laugh. Oh, it's back again.
Back again.
So, playing games and, you know, like on the swing.
Yeah.
Remember that? Or you're swimming in the pool. Yeah. I used to love, Dad used to put me in tyres and he'd roll me down the hill.
Yep.
Gee, they were good years.
Oh, you can keep it, actually.
No, I can't. Half.
You can keep it.
That's all I've got. Maybe one tomorrow night.
Oh, thanks for your texts throughout the night. Some really good topics tonight, and sorry we didn't get to all of them, but we got to almost all of them. Don't forget to keep texting tomorrow when you listen in. Thanks to Sean Maloney from Stan Sport. He will commentate the Bledisloe Cup tomorrow night. Marvel Stadium sell out.
You beauty.
Can't wait to watch that. And, of course, we've got plenty more coming up tomorrow night with Sports Day with Badge and Sats. And if you missed anything, grab the podcast. Just look for Sports Day NSW on Apple or Spotify. And for Kia Niro, thank you very much. They are available in hybrid and all electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Life's busy. Take this deck. There's heaps to do on it, like polishing off this wine. That's tough. Life's pretty good with a Trex deck. Composite decking with no hard maintenance. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.